Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Will Levis has a brand new girlfriend, apparently.
Good for him.
Good for him. I will say this. I mean, everybody remembers draft night and his girlfriend on draft night, and she kind of stole the show as he was stuck in the dream in the green room and everything else. And then I remember last year, I want to say it was like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, or it was some night. Pardon My Take, the Barstool podcast, had this graphic of Will Levis, and it just said single on it. And it was like, Pardon My Take is breaking the news. The Titans rookie quarterback Will Levis is now single. And I couldn't stop laughing because the graphic had Levis like looking all serious and it just said single. I don't know if you guys have seen the when Sam Darnold had mono when he was the quarterback of the Jets, ESPN had a graphic in which it was like out indefinitely, mononucleosis. And it was Sam Darnold like pointing at the camera like being tough where it said he was out indefinitely for mono. That's kind of what that Levis graphic last year showed me. But let me say this about Levis's new girlfriend. Apparently, she's from The Bachelor. I don't know. I don't watch. Will Levis's personal life will always be a big deal. And here's why. Number one, he plays quarterback. Number two, he's a good-looking dude. And thus, people care about that stuff. You know, I'm not sure a lot of people are interested in who Lamar Jackson is dating. Because, you know, Lamar Jackson doesn't have that, I am Johnny Goodlooking out here, and I am just here to pick up all the chicks. And yet I do kind of feel like Will Levis has that vibe. I think that's part of the reason why a lot of people don't like Will Levis, because they're jealous. Because who wouldn't want to be 6'4" and absolutely yoked? Well, play quarterback. I mean, it's pretty cool, right? Also, he's not married. And when you're not married, that means that you're 25 years old, which he is. You know, drama, excitement, yes. So people are going to care about that. Once you get married, you have kids, unless you're having like a wildly public affair, nobody cares. That's why nobody cared about Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill's married, had two kids, you know, it was a whatever. All these quarterbacks have good-looking wives. Some of them are famous, some of them are not. All the quarterbacks are 6'4". They're all cut to a certain extent. And women like that, especially when your salary is around $50 million a year and an entire stadium of people is chanting your name and wearing your jersey. It's very attractive to women. I don't know if you guys understand that or not. And I don't care about that. And I don't care about Will Levis and his girlfriend and the fact that she has a podcast and the fact that she's famous and the fact that she's on The Bachelor. Now, Caroline texted me earlier today, and apparently this girl's like, I guess her public persona, I don't know her, but her public persona, according to Caroline, is she's a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But I don't know that about her. I don't know anything. I don't even know her name, other than she's on The Bachelor. I don't care about any of this. What I care about is that Will Levis, for the last 2 years, since he's really been a Titan, he's had a lot of drama in his personal life, right? He had the draft night and the girlfriend. And remember Rich Gannon, who we love. We love Rich. But Rich said, like, hey, man, you got too many good-looking women with you. Your mom and your sister and your girlfriend. You're like Joe Namath trying to be Don Juan back there. I mean, this is how far back this goes. Then there was the girlfriend. Then it was the breakup. Then it was, you know, there was a lot of internet scuttlebutt about that. Then after they broke up this summer, there was some scuttlebutt. And yet, at no point has it seemed to me like any of that drama has affected his focus as a professional football player. And that's all I care about. I don't care if you go date somebody from Mars. I don't care if you're dating the most famous person in the history of the world. If you're my relief pitcher, I need you to go get 3 outs. That's all I care about. I don't care if you're dating a politician. I don't care. I wouldn't care if Will Levis was dating a man. Now, I know there are a lot of you out there that would care about that, and that's your business, but I wouldn't care. As long as you play football and play it well, that's all that matters to me. Now, if all of a sudden this starts to become an issue, and now, again, apparently she's got some podcast or something, and she starts going on the podcast, and she starts talking about the fact that the Titans ignored right tackle this offseason, it's getting her boyfriend killed, then we're going to have problems. Because that becomes an issue for the team. When Tannehill was in Miami, they had a defensive back. I forget his name. Was it Brent Grimes? Was that the name of the I want to say
sounds
that
about right, yeah.
His wife was like a morning DJ in the radio, on the radio in Miami. And she just bitched about Tannehill. Well, now that becomes a problem. And it's not the coroner's fault, it's his wife. But again, you know, if she wasn't married to you, her opinions wouldn't matter about this. So it's a whole thing, right? As long as that doesn't happen, I don't care who Will Levis dates. And you shouldn't either. We all have personal lives. We all have things in our personal lives we're not proud of. We all have things in our personal lives we are proud of. So, I mean, he can do whatever he wants, but don't let it affect the football. I really believe that when P.K. Subban started dating Lindsey Vonn, I think it affected him as an athlete. I think there was some scuttlebutt that came out of there, out of that building after he left that was, yeah, we don't know if P.K. was really dedicated to the game at the end. That's what I heard. I think that you could tell, based on his play, that it declined rapidly after he was with Lindsey Vonn. And remember how big of a deal it was that P.K. Subban was dating Lindsey Vonn. It was the story every day. Oh, Lindsey Vonn had an Instagram story of P.K. Subban snoring, and all of a sudden, you know, that took off, and that doesn't bother me, but it does bother me if you're not working out as much because you're spending your offseason traveling around with Lindsey Vonn. On the other hand, Mike Fisher was married to Carrie Underwood, and it didn't affect his play at all. And that's why I never cared that he was married to Carrie Underwood, because it doesn't matter. And as far as having, again, going back to Caroline, saying that this girl that Will Levis is dating is apparently cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and again, that's her public persona. I don't know, you know, what she's like as a person, and I don't care. That's not my business. But I would assume that if she's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs on The Bachelor, that's probably not what she's like in real life, if I had to guess. But even going back to that, you think Tom Brady hasn't had drama in his personal life? With Giselle and Bridget, and had a kid with Bridget while he was dating Giselle, and then he had two kids with Giselle, and then all of a sudden he and Giselle broke up. And the only thing that bothered me about Tom Brady's relationships over the years didn't affect him really on the football field much, but the one thing that did bother me was when they came to practice here, when he was with Tampa Bay, and he wasn't there, took an 11-day break because he was working out his divorce. I wanted to watch Tom Brady play football. Like, I mean, come on. And I think it hurt the Bucs that season. Not that I thought Brady was the problem on that team, but I think that that hurt the Bucs because you can't play football half in. But there has been nothing that I have seen from Will Levis that would make me think that even if he was dating, I'm trying to think of like the wildest and craziest woman that he could date. Even if he was dating somebody who was completely off the rails, that it would affect his career, affect the team. That's all I care about. And that's really how I feel 99% of the time about most people and their jobs. If we're doing something professionally, I care that you do the job. You're a doctor, and I go to the hospital, and I need you to look at something. I don't care what's going on between you and your wife. That's your business. So when it comes to Will Levis and dating somebody famous, and the internet, I think, is going to absolutely, you know, just be so, so overly just magnified on this Will Levis dating somebody famous, as long as it doesn't affect his play, I don't care. You think Aaron Rodgers hasn't had personal life drama over the years? Of course he has. Has it affected him as a quarterback? The Olivia Munn stuff didn't. But all the crazy ayahuasca stuff, maybe that does. And if it does, then I care. If it doesn't, then I don't. And that's how I feel about Levis. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Kyle has been waiting patiently, wants to get in here on the program. Kyle, thank you. Go ahead.
We're talking Coco Puffs, man. That's my language right there. I hope she does affect his game.
Okay, all I heard Kyle say, and I appreciate his call, all I heard was that he said that he hopes she does affect his game. I don't. Because I'm sure, and again, I don't want to speak for Kyle, but I'm going to have to with that lousy phone connection. I'm going to assume that he's like, I hope this affects his game in a positive way. Well, relationships come and go. And something I think I've learned, and it took me a long time to learn this in my life, is relationships are two-way streets. And sometimes when you're in a relationship, there's control that you don't have. And so if he ends up playing better because he's dating this girl, and then she pulls the rug out from under him, you know, then what? So again, I hope it doesn't mean anything for him as a player. I hope it doesn't mean anything for his focus. Bad days are going to happen in your personal life. Bad days happen in my personal life. But when you get in your car after you've worked all day and you tune into the radio program, do you care if I'm having a bad day? I'd like to believe some of you do, but for the most part, you don't. And that's how I feel about this. And it's hard to do because we're all human beings, including the quarterback. But we also all have jobs to do. And so I hope it doesn't have an effect. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. That's the only time I'm going to talk about this unless it becomes a problem. That's the only time. And I don't think it will. Coming up next, Tua got his contract. We already complained about that. Jordan Love got his contract. We have not complained about that. But a lot of people want to know. A lot of people want to know. How does this affect Will Levis? We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Let's talk about White Bison. That's right, White Bison, they are the best. They're your local coffee shop. They're my local coffee shop. And they've got specialty coffee and so much more. Again, don't go somewhere where the line's going to be all the way through the door. No. Go somewhere where you can just download your app and you can order ahead and you can join the rewards program and everything else. Explore the selection of premium coffee blends, refreshing iced drinks, and food featuring fresh-made premium breakfast, lunch, and snack options. And download that app to join the White Bison Rewards Program, where you can place orders on the go anytime, get rewards, and earn free coffee. Stop by White Bison and brighten your day with a sweet cinnamon beehive latte, an iced honey nut macchiato, or the vanilla rooibos tea latte. Find your perfect cup at White Bison, where it's finely crafted for you every day. White Bison and twice daily. That's twice daily.
The deal that the Miami Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa have been trying to work out has been agreed to, a four-year, $212.4 million extension, $167 million in guaranteed money, and that makes Tua's average annual salary $53.1 million per year. Do you know what Dan Marino's career earnings with the Dolphins were? $51 million. Tua beats that on average in a single year. But this was the deal that they've been trying to get done. Tua really didn't practice the first 2 days, and the sign that something was up may have come earlier today when Tua was a full participant in practice, and a short time later, the richest deal in Dolphins franchise history is agreed to. Tua and the Dolphins get their agreement done.
Okay, Tua signed on Friday, then Friday night. I don't know, Ian, if it makes you uncomfortable when I talk about this, but I had a gumdrop, the legal ones. I had a gumdrop on Friday night and saw the Jordan Love contract and was like, whoa, $55 million a year for Jordan Love. Now, doing the whole APY thing is not... Now, Mike Florio has a really good article about this at Pro Football Talk. Mahomes' APY is supposedly less than these other guys. And over the next 4 years, the guy who's going to end up getting the most cash out of the group is Mahomes, even though his number is technically per year a lot less. Like, over the next 4 years, Mahomes is going to get $200 million in cash, and Trevor Lawrence is going to get like $115. So I don't totally understand it, but again, the thing that the agents love and TV loves and we love, it's the per year, and Jordan Love got $55 million. And so a lot of people are going to ask this question. What does this mean for Will Levis? The truth is, it doesn't really mean anything unless you let it. With quarterbacks in the NFL, some teams rush to sign their quarterback, like Jacksonville, because they feel like they have to. Sometimes owners want to get deals done, GMs want to get deals done, coaches want to get deals done. They want to get a deal done because they want to justify the opinion that they had to select that quarterback in the first place. Jacksonville, again, they probably jumped the gun a little bit on Trevor Lawrence. Jacksonville can argue that, well, he'll be $65 million if we waited a year. And on top of it, they just went and asked the public for a boatload of money for a new stadium, and they got it. And so I think you want to sign the quarterback to show that you're invested in the team and everything else so that the constituents want to give you their money. So this is more of a business deal maybe than it was a football deal, but I understand it. The reality check, though, just because other teams rush to sign their quarterbacks doesn't mean you have to do that. In fact, I'm a firm believer that if you do what everybody else does, you'll end up like everybody else. See, I'm still of the belief that you'll know at that position. You'll know. Just like we knew. I was the biggest Mariota guy. I wanted Mariota to be a franchise quarterback. I loved Mariota. I thought Mariota had been totally screwed over by the organization with the bad coaching and Kim Wisenhunt and the coaching changes and Matt LaFleur and Derrick Henry on the bench. And I thought Mariota had been screwed over. I wanted Mariota to be the guy. But when I watched that Denver game and I saw those throws not being completed within a 9-yard radius of where they were supposed to go, I knew. At no point, even though I was one of the biggest Marcus guys there was, at no point through that process did I think they should have given him a contract extension. I thought they were right to pick up the fifth-year option. I thought they were right to go into the 19 season without giving him an extension, saying this is a prove-it year for him. And ultimately, he proved that he was not the guy. And I was fine with that. Because you don't have to make a decision, so don't force yourself to make a decision. In the case of Miami and Green Bay, they think they've already made the decision. They think they've got franchise quarterbacks. Now, I do not think that the Dolphins have a franchise quarterback in Tua, and I'm not completely sold that the Packers have a franchise quarterback in Jordan Love either. I'd rather pay Jordan Love than pay Tua because I know in my heart that Tua is not a franchise quarterback. I know Tua does not beat good teams. He cannot beat playoff teams. He cannot win in the playoffs, and he cannot go on the road and go to Buffalo, go to Kansas City, go to Baltimore, go somewhere where it's cold and beat those quarterbacks. I know it. So I wouldn't do it. With Jordan Love, I don't know that. Jordan Love got better throughout the course of the year last year, went to Dallas, beat them, went to San Francisco, played great against them. I understand it. Now, I probably wouldn't have given him the contract. I probably would have told Jordan Love, like, hey, man, we need to see what you did last year. We need to see that this year. And instead of you getting $55 million, because by the time we're ready to give you the contract, Dak will have signed a new contract. Tua will have signed a new contract. Maybe Brock Purdy will sign a new contract. So it might be $60 million for you. It might be $62 million for you. But we're going to make you do it again. Because this is what I love about this league. This is what I love about the razor-thin margins in this league. And that is that the Green Bay Packers were 6-8 last year. And we've talked about this 100 times. But they were lucky enough to draw Carolina and beat them by 3. And all of a sudden, they got hot. They went to Dallas. They smoked Dallas. And I believe that that had more to do with Dallas and McCarthy and Dak than it had to do with Green Bay, but more power to them. And if they could kick a field goal, they might have been in the Super Bowl, which you got to give credit to. But at 6-8, the general manager had already come out earlier in the year and said, these next 10 games are important games for Jordan Love. He told you midway through last year, he didn't know if they had the guy. So at 6-8, they drew Carolina. If they drew somebody good and lost, there's a pretty good chance that Jordan Love is the backup right now or the bridge quarterback to J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix, or I don't think the Packers were too far away from looking for a new quarterback. But again, beat Carolina by 3, take it week by week. All of a sudden, you're in the division round of the playoffs, and now you're worth $220 million. So, again, go back to the point of what does this have to do with Will Levis? It doesn't have anything to do with Will Levis unless you decide that you have to extend your quarterback for some artificial reason that pops into your brain other than knowing that he's the guy. Buffalo knew Josh Allen was the guy after year 3. Why? He had made the Pro Bowl in the AFC. They had gone to the AFC title game. He had thrown 37 touchdown passes. He was averaging about 8 yards an attempt. He was the guy. They knew. Give him the contract. Kansas City knew Mahomes was the guy after 4 weeks. You can go ahead and give that guy the contract. By the time he was eligible for a contract, he already won a Super Bowl. Give him the deal. So I know a lot of teams are afraid of, well, if we don't have a quarterback, if we go the bridge route, if we do the, I'll be okay with it. So if you're the Titans and you feel like you have to be like everybody else and you feel like the second that you can extend a mediocre quarterback because you tell yourself that he's our Joe Burrow, well, that's your fault. But I still believe the Titans would be right to take the same approach they took with Mariota, which was, we hope, but we'll see. And make Levis prove he's the guy. And at that point, whatever the going rate is, that's what he'll get. And that's just the league. But this idea that like those contracts have anything to do with your quarterback? No. Not unless you let it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. So I'm sure some people will say, Jared, how will we know if Will Levis is the guy? Well, let's touch on that and get to your phones. We'll do it next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number here on the program. The Game Summer Ticket Tour is presented by Green River Whiskey, and it's got 2 more tour stops left. Join Joe Dubin at Burrow Bourbon and Brews at 124 North Maple Street in Murfreesboro this Thursday from 4 to 6. He will have your chance to win free tickets to upcoming concerts in Nashville, including Bush, Train, Dierks Bentley, and more. Also get signed up for the grand prize, tickets to a Preds home game, sounds game, and the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Green River Distilling Company, Owensboro, Kentucky. Alcohol by volume varies by product. Please drink responsibly.
If you had to bet right now he is going to be the quarterback of this franchise when they open the new stadium or he is not, you have to bet one way or the other. Which way are you guys going?
Well, I'll give odds. How about?
No.
I'll give odds.
No, it's money line. You have to bet yes or no, period. No odds.
I give him a 60% chance of being
no, you have to bet your house. Yes or no?
I don't bet my house.
Dude, don't do this. TD, will you please indulge my question? God, Kaharski, so
angry. I mean, I'm straddling the fence with that one, but to give you some classroom participation, I will go ahead and I would say yes.
Thank you.
But not because I think he's going to be a top 5 passer. I would say yes because, you know, nowadays, even if you're, you know, top 10, top 15, like remember, this organization paid Ryan Tannehill $100 million.
Right.
So I think he's going to put – it's likely that he puts them in a situation where they're like, okay, we're looking like the Jacksonville Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence as far as, like, I don't know that we're going to find something better we could possibly, but
I don't know that we're going to find something better, so let's go ahead and pay him. I think that's going to be the situation.
That was TD and Paul, who didn't want to participate about a couple weeks ago with Joe, and I thought that was really apropos because, again, I think there's a lot of questions. Somebody texts in the text line and says, I think Levis will be the guy, Jared, and I think that we'll remember this chat 2 years from now when the Titans do pay Will Levis. I mean, I hope. But there's kind of a question, right? How will we know that Will Levis is the guy? And I want to go back to, it's easy when you've got Joe Burrow, right? Like, I see people on Twitter say things now like, well, Joe Burrow, or I guess the text line, Joe Burrow hasn't won the big one yet. He got really damn close with a team that probably didn't belong there. He's the one guy in the sport who can consistently compete with Patrick Mahomes. The other guy who can beat Mahomes doesn't even play football anymore. That's Brady. Everybody else, they can't beat Mahomes. You know, Aiden O'Connell might sneak one out here or there. Ryan Tannehill beat him once. Actually beat him twice. But he's not beating Mahomes consistently. Burrow is. So when you've got Burrow, or you've got Allen, or even Lamar, you know, I'm not the biggest Lamar fan. Don't know if Lamar's going to be able to win in the playoffs or not when he has to throw against these guys. But at the end of the day, if Lamar Jackson was my quarterback, I'd give him the going rate contract, the $200 million, yes. I look at Miami and Green Bay and even Dallas, who has a decision to make on Dak. And let's throw Jacksonville in here with Trevor Lawrence, because I've talked to Jacksonville about this. We had Tony Khan on the show. His dad owns the team. He's the chief strategist, i.e., he's the heir to the team. And he told us, we wanted to pay Trevor Lawrence. We think he's the best young quarterback in the NFL. I disagree with that, but that's what they think. In all four cases, can you win a Super Bowl with Trevor Lawrence, Tua, Jordan Love, or Dak? With Trevor, and Trevor's still really young, I'll say the jury is out, but I'm leaning more no. Tua is a no. Jordan Love is a, we just need more information. And with Dak, I mean, I think Dak is kind of the line in the sand where I really don't think you can win the Super Bowl with Dak Prescott as your quarterback. I think too often when Dallas loses in the playoffs, it's because they need Dak to make the difference, and Dak can't do it. If you compare the rosters between Kansas City and San Francisco, the two teams that played the Super Bowl last year, top to bottom, Ian, top to bottom, who's got a better roster, Kansas City, San Francisco?
I mean, if you're going to go overall, I mean, I guess San Francisco.
I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, but I mean, Kansas City just might have the better players at key positions.
To me, last year, Kansas City was built on four players. Mahomes, Kelsey, Jones, Snead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sure, other guys matter. You know, Nick Bolton, their inside linebackers, very good player. You know, that matters. Carl Loftus, McDuffie, those guys are good players. Rashee Rice, when he's not going crazy, you know, he provided them a little punch on offense. But it was really the four players.
Pacheco's not terrible.
Pacheco's not bad at all. But it's really the four players. Whereas if you look at San Francisco's team, it's like they've got the best of everything at almost every position. Trent Williams, Kittle, Debo, Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey. They even have the best fullback in the league in Kyle Juszczyk.
Linebackers.
Warner and Greenlaw, Bosa. I mean, they're good everywhere. They're good at every position. And yet, Kansas City can still win because they got the guy. That's the difference. If you've got that guy, if Levis becomes that guy, we'll know. This won't even be a discussion. But the question is, what if Levis doesn't? What if Levis becomes like Tua, becomes like Jordan Love, becomes like Dak, where there are enough W's under the belt to justify keeping the quarterback, but there's really nothing there that says you can win because of that guy? Last year, Patrick Mahomes was the league MVP. Ian, do you know who finished number two?
Was it Lamar?
Dak Prescott.
Okay, I could buy that.
Dak Prescott was number two. The difference? Dak can't beat San Francisco. Mahomes can. Dak can't beat those teams. He's not a force multiplier. I think that's the reason why Jerry, I think it's one of the reasons, why Jerry has not given Dak a new contract. The other being that Jerry's cheap. But I think that it's partly because deep down in his heart, he sat there in that box in that Green Bay playoff game, and he watched Dak and Mike McCarthy poop their pants on national TV and thought, I can't win with him. I can't do it. We can get close, but we're never going to get close enough. And I think Jerry knows that. I mean, I'll even do this. Ian, Kansas City, Dallas, top to bottom, who has a better roster?
That's a good question. That's pretty good. Dallas, I don't know, maybe Dallas.
I think Dallas does too.
Maybe, yeah.
But if they played, who would you pick?
Yeah, I'd pick Kansas City.
Every time.
Yeah.
And so that's the question for the Titans and for everybody else, which is how do you view that quarterback purgatory? Do you view it as a let's move off of Alex Smith to try to do better? Let's move off of Tyrod Taylor. Buffalo got to the playoffs for the first time since the Music City Miracle in 2017. And they said, let's move off Tyrod Taylor. Let's go get our own guy. And it became Josh Allen. Do you do that? A lot of teams are scared to do that. And the reason why these teams are scared to do it is because if you make that mistake, if you do it and you fail, you're fired. A lot of teams are afraid of that. You know, for Green Bay, I think part of the reason why they gave Jordan Love the contract is because they view their identity kind of like the Steelers extending Mike Tomlin's contract when it kind of feels deep down inside like maybe it's time for them to move on and get some fresh blood in the organization. But their identity for the Steelers is we don't fire coaches. The identity for the Packers is that we go from one quarterback to the next guy. So they want to believe that Love is the next guy, so they just give him the contract, whereas I probably would like to see a little bit more from Jordan Love before feeling comfortable about giving him that contract. The one thing I will say is, for the most part, the teams that weren't sure at quarterback and decided to move on, I'd say really aren't missing that much. Washington wasn't sure about Kirk Cousins. They moved on. Now, Washington hasn't done very well, but I'll ask you this. How good's Kirk Cousins? Tampa wasn't sure about Jameis Winston. They moved on. They won a Super Bowl. Chicago wasn't sure about Justin Fields. They've moved on. I think they probably made the right choice. Tennessee wasn't sure about Marcus. They moved on. Cleveland wasn't sure about Baker Mayfield. Now, they failed themselves on the Deshaun thing. Like, that was just stupid. And that was their fault. But for the most part, there's not a lot of San Diego Chargers Drew Brees in this, where the guy leaves your team and he goes somewhere else and he becomes a star. There's not a lot of that in the league. In fact, off the top of my head, the closest thing to it might be Ryan Tannehill, where he left Miami and the entire league thought he was a backup, and a year later he's quarterbacking in the AFC title game. That might be it. So then the question for the Titans becomes, do you view Tua, Lawrence, Dak, Jordan Love, do you view that as good enough? And I'm not sure I do. My premise would be if Levis becomes that kind of quarterback, and I think TD's right. If he becomes that kind of quarterback, I think they are going to give him a contract. But if he becomes that kind of quarterback where we're really not sure, write it out. That's the whole purpose of the franchise tag. The whole point of the franchise tag, in my opinion, is to allow teams to keep superstars so it doesn't become the NBA. By the way, somebody texts in, and they are totally right. Lamar won the MVP last year, not Mahomes. I don't know why I thought Mahomes won the MVP. Dak was second last year, but Lamar was a runaway MVP. I don't know how I messed that up.
But again, I didn't pick up on it either. So
yeah, what's the matter with us today? But I will say this. Again, the force multiplier, like, that guy has to win you games. Not we're giving them the contract because we're afraid of what happens if we don't, then you're the Dolphins. I don't want to be the Dolphins. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ian, did you see the Malik Willis hype after the practice on Saturday at Nissan Stadium?
I did hear a little bit about this, yeah.
So there is some Malik Willis hype once again. We'll get to it next here on Stillman & Company. Is it something that we should be thinking about? We'll get to that next here on Stillman & Company on 1025-1063 The Game. And let me tell all the fine folks out there, Nashville's best deal of the week is admission to the Frist. I should know that. That's where my bar mitzvah party was held at. The Frist Art Museum. Enjoy ever-changing exhibits from around the world. Exhibitions from around the world, from world-renowned collections. Get creative and Martin Art Quest, the Frist hands-on art-making space, and find unique handcrafted items in their gift shop. Current exhibitions include fashion, photography, graphic art, ceramics, VR, and more. Head to GameNashville.com/deals now to get two tickets to the Frist Art Museum for the price of one while supplies last. That's a $15 savings.
Really pleased with Malik. I think both those quarterbacks have really done a nice job, and Malik came out and had a nice day with some aggressive throws. He's really done a nice job knowing what to do, where to go with the football, and really pleased with how he played today. It was a good day for Malik.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan at practice. Apparently on Saturday, Malik Willis lit it up, and the Malik Willis hype train is back. And I did see some of the videos on Twitter.
All aboard, all aboard.
They were not bad throws. All aboard the Malik Willis hype train. Let me say this. Whatever. I feel bad for Malik Willis. I really do. Because Malik does have some talent. Now, he doesn't have a lot of it, but he does have some of it. But he's short. He's not on time. And quite frankly, Malik was put in an untenable situation by the organization that to this day, I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, Malik was put in a position by the people making decisions in this organization that, quite frankly, they should have known better. I mean, I knew better. I was begging, go get a real backup quarterback. Oh, no, 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 Mike Vrabel said. Oh, no, 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 John Robinson said. I'm like, he's not ready. Willis should have never sniffed the field in 2020. Instead, he starts a Sunday night football game against the Chiefs. And then he gets benched on Thursday night football against the Dallas Cowboys because Malik loses to a JV Texan team at the end of the year. Malik should have never been the backup in 2023. Again, what was Vrabel thinking? And I understand Will Levis had the injury, not a ton of reps, but it took one game for Levis to prove that he was head and shoulders better than Willis. It absolutely made no sense to me. And I just don't know if those are failures that Malik can come back from. You see, with developing quarterbacks, the way they're brought along, it's everything. And Malik was a project from the very beginning. And the Titans should have treated it as such. But instead, they used a third-round pick, and you don't want to use a third-round pick and then tell the owner that, yeah, this guy's probably 2 years away from maybe being able to compete, and so let's try it. You don't want to do that, so you push him out there before he's supposed to, and that's how you ruin a quarterback. If Tom Brady had gone out his rookie year when he was a third-string quarterback and had been asked to beat Brett Favre on Sunday Night Football, which is essentially what the Titans did to Malik Willis, hey, go out there against Kansas City and beat Mahomes. I think there's a chance that would have damaged him beyond repair. In fact, the Patriot coaching staff said to themselves in training camp in 2001, they thought Tom Brady had outplayed Drew Bledsoe, but Drew Bledsoe was their $100 million quarterback, so they went with Bledsoe. Did Willis against third stringers on Saturday look significantly better than Will Levis? Did he show you anything that Will Levis hasn't shown you that he can already do in a game as a rookie? Willis is a third-year quarterback, and he's still a third-string quarterback. That means to me his potential is that he can be a backup. Not is a backup, but can be a backup. But him mopping up on third stringers, which are probably a bunch of guys that'll be bagging groceries in 5 weeks anyways, that's not something that makes me sit there and say, what if Malik is the guy? And then there's this whole quarterback competition thing that Brian Callahan introduced at OTAs that kind of made everybody sit back and say, wait a minute, hold on, a quarterback controversy between Mason Rudolph and Malik Willis? If there is an actual quarterback controversy for the backup spot, a competition, I should say, not controversy, if there is an actual competition for the third-string quarterback position, I mean, I'll be really disappointed. I mean, I was really disappointed when they signed Mason Rudolph because I don't think Mason Rudolph's very good. But if, let's just say that there is a competition, and I read Kaharski's article in which he says so far at practice, nothing they've done would indicate that there is a competition for the number two job. But if that is the case, and Malik Willis ends up playing meaningful snaps for this team this year, the way he played meaningful snaps last year, the way he played meaningful snaps the year before that, then I'm going to be just as mad at this administration as I am at the last administration for when they put Malik in the game. One practice does not erase what we've seen with our eyes, which is that Malik Willis isn't very good. And last year, Malik made the inexcusable decision against the Ravens when they were down by two scores in the fourth quarter, driving deep in Ravens territory. And instead of going out of bounds, he literally turned his body and jumped back in bounds so the clock would run. I've never looked at a quarterback and said, have you ever played Madden football before? Like, do you understand how the clock works? So, I know. Malik had a good practice, and everybody will probably get excited, and they'll think that, I mean, he's the third stringer. They shouldn't cut him because they're already paying him. And there probably aren't other guys out there that are significantly better than him to be the third quarterback. But there, the also the idea that Malik could somehow be a reclamation project and become something at quarterback, that's just not going to happen. Now, the one thing we do have to give him credit for is that Malik has taken the punches. A lot like Dylan Raiden's. You know, Raiden's got knocked down early, got back up, got knocked down again. Now he's being told he has to play guard, but he's probably the best right tackle on the team. And Raiden's will get back up. Same with Malik. And I do give credit there. But I'm not interested in Malik playing quarterback for this team in games that matter. I actually think, because I really don't like Rudolph, I actually wonder if something were to happen to Levis, seriously, knock on wood, I do wonder if they should give Tannehill a call. Because Tannehill made it clear that he'd be interested in playing this year if the situation is right, which I interpret as Tannehill would be willing to play if he can start or make money, one or the other. And since you're not going to pay him any money, it would have to be the actual starting for whatever that means. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. Coming up next, did anybody see? Remember last Monday that came back off vacation and Arden Key was on Instagram going off on Paul Kaharski? And yeah, Jeffrey Simmons had already complained about the local media, and then you got Arden Key. Well, Arden Key addressed it with Paul Kaharski. And I was stunned by what I heard and what I've come to expect to hear from the Titans and how different it was. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.